Good morning. It's good to see you all here. We have quite a crowd this morning. I'm a little nervous, not exceptionally so, but a little nervous. It's been rather a harrowing weekend or past two, three, 4 days for me and most everyone in my family. And I'm glad to see my family. I'm really glad to see my family here. I'm going to speak on a subject that is we're all subject to, one that I don't believe I've spoken on before. Maybe I have, I just don't remember. I'm going to talk about temptations this morning, something that each one of us have to deal with. I believe something that each one of us has problems with. And at least each one I know has a problem with temptations. I know I do. And they come in all different sizes, all different forms. And it's for us, with the help of the Lord, to just figure out what those temptations are. Even our Lord and Savior had to deal with temptations. I'd like, for a first reading, I'd like to turn into Matthew, the fourth chapter, and start with the first verse, Matthew 4. Read the first 11 verses, actually. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was ahungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." He is attempting to tempt our Lord and Savior, and he is under the wrong assumption, I believe, the devil was. That after he had fasted and prayed, that he would be weak. That he would be easier to grab hold of. And we who are in this gospel, we who understand this gospel, know that through fasting and prayer, we don't go weaker, we go stronger. The devil didn't understand that. The devil didn't understand it for those 40 days and those 40 nights. Our Lord and Savior was coming close to His Father, was talking to His Father, was receiving strength from His Father. And as the devil came to Him, he came to him and attempted to tempt him through his vanity, through Christ's vanity. And it's something that we're all subject to, that vanity. He said, and I can picture this, because I was young, I was a kid once, and I've done this. I've said not these very words, but words similar to this. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. You're so big and strong, do this. And I've said that. You know, if you're so tough, do this. I dare you to do this. And it happens. It happens. I think it probably happens more with the male figure than the female. But the devil was going after vanity. Something that we're all subject to. But this is Christ's answer. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into a holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Same thing. Same thing. If you be so big and great, do this. I dare you to do this. I dare you. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou shalt wilt fall down and worship me. And these were the devil's to give. These were Satan's to give. And he is attempting no longer to Christ's vanity, but to the element of power. The element of power. A temptation. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. All these things that I have read about that was tempted, that Jesus was tempted with, we're subject to. It's all elements natural man is subject to. You and I are going to be and are tempted. There's no way to avoid it. And I don't believe that we should want to avoid it. We need these temptations. It's been with us from the very beginning. It's been with man from the very beginning. It will always be with man. In Genesis, the third chapter, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he saith unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband and with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why'd they do that? Why in the world did they do that? Well, they were looking. They were looking for something bigger, better, something they didn't have, something maybe faster, something with more pizzazz. They were looking for something better. Even though they had it all. Even though we may have it all. As a natural man, we're going to look for more. Always looking for something bigger and better and faster and flashier. As a natural man, that's where we are. You can look in the world today and see it. You can see, and we wonder. You know, we look at some of these pro athletes, maybe movie stars that are making $7, $8, $10 million a day or a year, or more. More than you can spend. More than they can get rid of. As fast as they want to get rid of it, they can't spend that much money. But they're looking for something more. Always more. You know, in Genesis, the second chapter, it talks about that garden. It talks about what was there. And it was all there. Everything that Adam and Eve could ever have wanted was there. But they were a natural man and they wanted more. But I want you to know, and if you get nothing more from my sermon than one phrase, it's this. You cannot satisfy your soul with what's here. You cannot satisfy your soul with what's here. You wonder about these pro athletes. You wonder about people that are making this kind of money. They're looking. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for something to satisfy their soul. And all they can see and all that they're looking for is what's here. And I want you to know better. I want to learn better. What will satisfy my soul and your soul, you're not going to find here. I want to read of a person in the Book of Mormon who was as faithful and as true and as honest as there ever was that lived on this earth. I'm going to read from the third chapter of 2 Nephi. Second Nephi, third chapter. I'm going to really confuse you today. Starting with the 30th verse. And this is Nephi speaking. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. This was a good guy. I mean, this guy constantly was thinking of the Lord. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me His great and marvelous work, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth. Why? Because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of what? The temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. Even Nephi was tempted. Even he was troubled to make this exclamation. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with His love, yea, even unto the consuming of my flesh. All this has been done for us, the same thing. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. But behold, He hath heard my cry by day, and He hath given me knowledge by vision in the night time. and by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him, and my voice have I sent upon high, and the angels came down and ministered to me. I've had this. I've been ministered by through angels. I've been healed through the laying on of hands. Those who I love and cherish have been healed. I've seen all this these things. I've had all these things. Just as Nephi has partaken of all these things, just as you have partaken of all these things, have been blessed by them, have been blessed with families, have been blessed with loved ones, have been blessed in services, have been thrilled, have felt his touch, have been lifted up, have seen the dead raised, and yet we're tempted. And yet we're tempted. And yet we struggle. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? And why, just as Adam and Eve, why do I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemies? Listen to this. Awake, my soul, and no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of my enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine affliction. Rejoice, O my soul, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. That's what we're looking for. That's what will satisfy your soul. Nothing less. Nothing here will satisfy your soul other than that. He was plagued with temptations. 44 it says, and he prays, and he knows that he has given way to temptations, that the evil one had a place in his heart because of it. I cannot stand up here and begin to tell you how many temptations there are in this world. Just as I cannot stand up here and tell you, and the scriptures say I cannot number the ways that you may sin. And they may be many, many, and they may be different for each one of us. But I doubt it. I doubt it. I really doubt that they're so different between us. I honestly believe that you and I, and the one sitting next to you, and the one sitting behind you, and the one sitting in front of you, are pretty much plagued with the same temptations. I don't think they're so different. You know, the scriptures warn us of excesses. And it's a temptation, and I'll try to get a little lighter. And this is a big problem that I have. Maybe I shouldn't stand up here and tell you my problems, but I do have a problem with moderation. My wife will tell you that. And I believe that some of you have that same problem. You know, when we were first married, a long time ago, some going on 27 years now, I had that problem. And when we were first married, we lived in a nice, cozy little apartment. Cost us all of $100 a month. I know this is hard to imagine. $100 a month, utilities were paid, and it was furnished. And it was the biggest place in the house. That was the fancy apartment. And we spent everything we made back then. We were footloose and fancy free and pretty independent. Thought we were pretty self-reliant. Sometimes I would give way to those excesses. I would go on, I shouldn't tell you this, I would go on binges. Food was my downfall. You can tell it now. I put on a little weight. Back then it didn't matter what I ate. I stayed the same weight. I would maybe go on a binge of Cracker Jacks and maybe eat 6 or 7 packages a night, or chocolate-covered peanuts and eat a pound every night. I once got on a binge of French burnt peanuts, if you all know what French burnt peanuts are. And I would buy a 12-ounce package every night and I would eat them. And it just went on for a while. Well, my wife, in her infinite wisdom, of course I didn't see through it, but it was her wisdom, she went out for Christmas and filled a 5-gallon container full of French burnt peanuts. I've never touched one since. But I still plagued with excesses. But in the Lord and His wisdom, when we were first married, He caused us to have a car stolen. And it was a valuable lesson. It was a valuable lesson that the Lord taught us through our excesses in spending. And I thank the Lord for that. I know it sounds funny, but I think it was one of the turning points in our married life when we had that car stolen, to where we learned from our mistakes as far as excesses. But the temptations are still there. Maybe not that way, but they're there throughout our lives. When we're young and strong, the vanity's there. You think you're infallible. I used to think I was infallible. I think my wife, when we were first married, thought I was infallible. She thought I was very wise. Didn't take too long. She learned, got a little wiser. I wasn't so wise. But when you're young, you're kind of macho, and that sets in. And it is a temptation. It's something that you learn from experience. You think you don't need help. You're strong, you're able, you're self-sufficient. But experience and the ways of life often teach you better. As you get a little older, maybe that passes. But then maybe you have an idea of really achieving something in this life. Maybe creating a greater presence for yourself in this world, to be somebody in this world. I think that comes as you get a little older, maybe coming towards middle age, that you want to really make yourself known. Maybe the power thing is there. But it's still a temptation. As you grow older, as you get older, maybe retirement age, that comes into play, and you start planning. You know, you start really planning for that time when I can retire, and you start devising ways and thinking about how much is enough. You know, how much will I really need? And you never think you have quite enough, do you? You never think you have quite enough. Never quite enough. Just a little more. In all these things, we discount the Lord. We discount, when we're young, how much we are in need of Him. We get a little older, we discount sometimes what's really important. We get much older, we discount on how able the Lord is to provide and how willing He is to provide. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter which gender you are. It doesn't matter whether you were raised in an affluent family, whether you were raised poor, whether you were brought to church throughout your life, whether you never were brought to church, the temptations are still there. And they will always be there. I'm going to turn back into the Bible, in the book of into James. I'm going to start reading in the first chapter. I'm going to tell you that the key, the very key to overcoming temptations is to recognizing them. Is to recognizing exactly what they are. And not discounting how trivial they are at this time. And some of them are trivial. But we know, or I hope we know, where those temptations can lead. Whatever it may be. Whether it be starting with 5 boxes of Cracker Jacks or a beer. One little beer. Or one little glass of wine with dinner. Or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that except where it leads. And where it will lead. And it will lead there. We have to recognize those temptations from the beginning. There is no one that started out who is now consumed with his temptations all the way. They started out a little at a time, and they led somewhere. You know, the devil doesn't, he's very subtle. Your temptations are going to start out innocently, very innocently. And they grow. And mine grow. Ours grow. This is not a day for confession, but I used to smoke. 20 years? Is it 20 years that I quit? I look at my son because it was the hardest thing, one of the hardest things in my life to quit smoking. It was a very difficult thing. And Steve's 23, and I believe that when he was 3, he told on me when I snuck one. I believe that he was 23. But I didn't start out smoking 2.5 packs a day. No, I didn't. I started out when I was about 17 or 18 because I was around some fellas that did. And so I just joined. I didn't like it. I mean, there's nothing appealing about it, but I did. And it grew and it grew and it grew to where I smoked two and a half packs a day. And then, how did I get myself out of it? It was difficult. It took 2 to 3 years. It took 2 to 3 years to do it. Thank goodness my 3-year-old son told on me that time. And my wife jumped all over me. And it really helped. And it really helped. But the temptations do not come on you. Full blown. You let yourself be subject to them. You think they're innocent. Especially when you're young. You think, nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong. And there's probably nothing wrong with that kind of stuff except where it leads. And it will lead. It will lead there. I got off where I was going. I was in James, wasn't I? First chapter, starting with the second verse. Now you're going to sound this. This sounds kind of funny. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Various temptations. It sounds funny, doesn't it? Count it a joy. Count it a joy that you recognize them. Count it a joy that you recognize them. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. What's the next phrase? Wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. That's spiritual. That's what it works towards. If you can recognize your temptations, recognize them, and count on the Lord, and call upon the Lord, you will want for nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, stable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no longer risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. Every person is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want you to think about that. It starts innocently. It is conceived in your own mind. That it won't hurt. That it won't hurt. There's nothing really wrong with it. It's not hurting much. I'm not hurting anybody else. Now, boy, have I heard that. Boy, have I heard that. I'm hurting nobody but myself, and really not myself. It's not so bad. it's not so bad. It's conceived in our hearts that it won't hurt. Then we do it. And it becomes sin. It becomes something that overpowers us. And when it overpowers us in sin, it brings about death. It brings about our spiritual death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Think about that. He didn't bring us here for us to consume our own lust upon ourselves. He brought us here and created us that we might be the first fruits of his creation. He created this world and all the good things in it for you. For you. He created all these things for you with a purpose, that you might be the very first fruits. Bring forth those things that are good. Bring forth those things that all the people in the world are seeking. Those things that bringeth joy to where? Our souls. We cannot find it in the world. Especially if we use the things of the world to consume it upon ourselves in looking for it. It's not there. It's not there. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It goes on. I'm running out of time. I'm not going on and read this, the rest of this chapter as I plan, but it talks about being a doer and not just a hearer. It talks about what religion is. I want to turn into 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I don't know how I ran out of time. I really don't know how I ran out of time. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under a cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. They had that which was important. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were out in the world. They were overthrown by what? Temptations. Temptations. The very ones that he delivered, they were overcome by temptations. Now these things were our examples, to the extent that we not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them, as is written, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And what were they doing? Looking for something bigger and better and faster. As some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. I can handle it. I'm big enough. You know the story. When they were bitten, all they had to do was look to Christ. Look up to the symbol, and they would be healed. And they would not. Macho. Vanity. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for what? For examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore let us that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. But listen to this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. You know, you hear it quite often, and I've said it. That at day and age we live, I'm sure glad that my kids are all but grown, because there's so many things going on in the world, so many things to draw them away. But it says right here, it's always been there, and it always will be there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. It's always been there. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I'm down to my last two scriptures, and that's what it's going to deal with, is how you are able to bear up and escape the temptations that are yours. And they are yours. And they will always be yours. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter. 4th chapter. Starting with the first verse. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and he suffered for us and had the same temptations, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Only way you're going to be able to overcome your temptations is have the same mind as Christ has. And how did he get that mind? How was he able to withstand the devil? 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days did he fast with a purpose. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's why Christ fasted. To do the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, 5 pounds of French burnt peanuts, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. People are going to think it's funny. People are going to think it's funny that you have your soul satisfied and filled with something other than is what is in this world. Speaking evil of you, or telling you you're foolish or not wise. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. And for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins, a multitude of temptations, and it will enable you to overcome those temptations. And let them not become sins. My last reading is Colossians, the third chapter. If ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. You're never going to satisfy your soul. You're never going to have enough if your affections are not set above. You're never going to be able to withstand your temptations. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, against fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, I can't pronounce that word, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. We all have been subject and will continue to be subject to these temptations. But now ye also put off all these: anger. You're going to see some of these things. But now put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, who is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. You see the difference here? Do you see what we're talking about? These things that we're to put on are dealing with us dealing with each other and other people. Charity. Concern for others. Up above, what's it dealing with? Ourselves. You want to overcome your temptations? I want to. The only way to do it is right here. We set our affections on things above, which is the mind of Christ, which dealt only and was concerned only with the welfare of others, their needs. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful and happy for what you've got. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you feel tempted, when temptation is eating at you, ask yourself if you can do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Next time you say to yourself, well, it's okay. You know, it won't hurt. It won't hurt this time. Ask yourself if you can do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Guess what will happen? You won't do it. You won't do it. Giving thanks to God and Father by Him. Well, I hope that you've got something out of my sermon dealing with temptations. And as I said at the first of my sermon, if you get nothing more than this, know of a surety that you cannot satisfy your soul, you cannot satisfy your cravings, your innermost being with things that are here. It will not happen. The only way that can happen is to set your affection on something greater. And that's Jesus Christ and His love. Thank you.